ॐ सहना भवतु, सहनौ भुनक्तु, सह वीर्यं करवावहै, तेजस्विनावतीतमस्तु, मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। We'll chant Keno Upanishad, part 1, mantra 5 to 9. Yadvachanabhyuditam ena vagabhyudyate tadeva brahmatvam viddhi nedam yadidam upasate. Yadvachanabhyuditam ena vagabhyudyate tadeva brahmatvam viddhi nedam yadidam upasate. यन्मनसानमनुते एना कुर्मनो मतं तदेव ब्रह्मत्वं विद्धि नेदं यदिदमुपासते। यन्मनसानमनुते एना कुर्मनो मतं तदेव ब्रह्मत्वं विद्धि नेदं यदिदमुपासते। यच्चक्षुषा न पश्यति येन चक्षुभूंषि पश्यति तदेव ब्रह्मत्वं विद्धि नेदं यदिदमुपासते। यच्चक्षुषा न पश्यति येन चक्षुभूंषि पश्यति तदेव ब्रह्मत्वं विद्धि नेदं यदिदमुपासते। यच्छ्रोत्रेण न शृणोति येन श्रोत्रमिदगुं श्रुतं तदेव ब्रह्मत्वं विद्धि नेदं यदिदमुपासते। यश्रोत्रेण न शृणोति येन श्रोत्रमिदगुं श्रुतं तदेव ब्रह्मत्वं विद्धि नेदं यदिदमुपासते। यत्प्राणेन न प्राणिति येन प्राणं प्रणीयते तदेव ब्रह्मत्वं विद्धि नेदं यदिदमुपासते। यत्प्राणेन न प्राणिति येन प्राणं प्रणीयते तदेव ब्रह्मत्वं विद्धि नेदं यदिदमुपासते। केनोपनिषद् इज नोन एज केनोपनिषद् बिकॉज द क्वेश्चन आस्क्ड बाय द शिष्या इन द वेरी फर्स्ट मंत्र द गुरु स्टार्ट्स विद द वर्ड केना, बाय हूम प्रोपेल्ड, दैट वाज हिज क्वेश्चन। सो केन उपनिषद्, दैट्स व्हाई इट्स कॉल्ड एज केनोपनिषद्। सो द Shishya basically asks the question, what is that God? And then he says, who is that God? What is that God? He has done his homework. It's very clear from the questions that the Shishya has done tremendous homework and is asking the fundamental question regarding the sentient principle, what we call as Atma. Is this Atma a part or a product or apart from the matter, material component? That is his question. He is very clear that the matter per se is jada. The subtle body and gross body per se is insentient. But they are seemingly sentient now. From where is that sentiency coming? Is it something inherent? It only comes out during some time? Or is it a product or is it something apart? If so, what is it? Please explain. That's his question. And the Guru beautifully explains when he said Shrotrasya Shrotam. The Upanishad is over when he said Shrotrasya Shrotam. The ear of the ear. That's all. The entire Keno Upanishad, even if you forget, you remember this. Shrotrasya Shrotam. Upanishad ho gaya. Then he goes on explaining all that is continuing. But Shrotrasya Shrotam, ear of the ear. By ear of the ear, what he wants to say is, this ear is in the heart. It is that ear which is giving the sentiency. Number one. Number two, This year, with small e, this subtle body, which is part of the subtle body, the sense organs of perception. So remember this. Sense organs of perception is part of the body. And when we say sense organs of perception, we don't mean the physical ears or physical eyes. They are called gwalayas. They are not real ears or eyes. No, tongue, skin. They are all physical expression of it. The real sense organs of perception is part of the subtle body, which is also insentient. This gwalaya is obviously insentient. So, that insentient senses, the insentient mind, seems to be sentient because it's drawing the sentiency from this ear with capital E. That is the source. This is drawing its capacity from that. And since it's drawing its capacity, even after the capacity is drawn from that, still that nothing happens to that ear. So this ear, the sense organs of perception, are dependent on the Atma, not the other way around. Therefore, that is Satyam, and these are all Nitya. All these concepts, in one line he said, Shrotrasya Shrotram. Manaso, Mano, Vacho, Vacho. They are all the same explanation of Shrotrasya Shrotram only. So, then those who sat down and thought and questioned everything and brought this truth out. See, because majority of them, they don't know about Atma. Even some who know about Atma, they think I'm a human being having a soul. No, it is actually Atma that seems to be expressing as a human being. And having this human experience. So the whole understanding has to become ulta. The understanding doesn't have to become ulta. Since our understanding is ulta, when you do it ulta again, it becomes siddha. Ulta plus ulta, siddha. Already we are ulta. That's what Upanishad is saying. But when you are ulta, somebody who is walking straight looks like he is ulta. If you don't understand this, try standing ulta, then you will understand. So, what is happening is, since everybody is standing ulta, we think that is normal. Am I confusing you enough today? If I am confusing you enough, then I am talking Upanishad correctly. Because the Upanishad wants to tell us this only. You are already walking ulta. Everything ulta. Upanishadic vision rectifies that and makes it siddha. But our problem is, how can majority be ulta? And these minority fellows come and tell me that they will make me siddha. But that's the truth. The truth is, majority is ulta. Majority is ulta, and very few Mahatmas are siddha. They are seeing life as it is. Therefore, they are telling us this truth. Shrotrasya Shrotra. That is Satyam, that is Nitya, that is your true nature. From that this is come. From that this is come, how it is come? Like the spider's web has come from spider's body itself. Like that, from Ishvara, this entire universe has come. This all that is explained in that. And those who sat down and questioned, they understood, and then they have reached that state. And this is what he said. They have gone beyond all the changes. And that is it. I don't know how to communicate. The Guru is telling, this is what we saw in the last class, verse number 3 and 4. The eye cannot reach there. The eyes cannot reach there. Nor the speech, nor the mind. None of the equipment can reach that. We do not know it. Nor do we know how to impart it. Like I said, when anybody says, I don't know, catch out of the guy, he is the one who knows. Anybody else who says very authoritatively, I know. Be very sure that fellow doesn't know. So, here the Upanishadic Guru is saying, we don't know and we don't know how to impart it. See, this is where the clue is. If we had just said we don't know, if you don't know, how can you impart? So when he said, I don't know, we don't know, and then he says, we don't know how to impart it. What does it mean? It means, don't think that we don't know. When we said we don't know, what we meant is, we don't know the truth objectively. We know the truth subjectively. See, I am seeing on the screen, though there are so many students, I can only see Pooja. Nobody else I can see. So, when I see Pooja there, I am seeing objectively. I am the subject, she is the object. Right? So like this, I don't know. This knowing, in the worldly parlance, when you say knowing, there is a knower, known object, and knowing in world. In the case of knowing the truth, the moment the truth is known, all the three dissolves. There is no knower knowing the known. So therefore they say we don't know. It is not knowing something objectively, like I am knowing Pooja now, I am seeing Pooja. No, I don't know, we don't know Brahman like that. We know Brahman subjectively. And that which is subjectively known, we don't know how to impart it. Why we don't know how to impart it? Not because we don't have the capacity to impart it. You do not have the capacity to receive it. How can you receive the whole with equipments which only can understand the parts? So you can only dissolve in it. You cannot know it. That's the problem. And we are not ready to dissolve. So the knowing of the truth is different from knowing things using your equipment. See, with intellect when we know, with any gadget we know only the part of it. And the moment you bisect and dissect and know the part becomes insentient. When it is together, when it is put together, it functions. If I remove eyes from my whole body and keep it separately in a glass, it can't see. If I remove ears, it cannot hear. But when it is all put together and plugged in together, they have the capacity to hear, see, smell, taste, touch, all that. So the moment you try to know it, you are only trying to know it through the equipments. And the equipments can only know the part. They don't know the whole. The parts cannot make the whole. So therefore we don't know how to impart it. So if you want to know it, what you need to therefore do is, you should be ready to dissolve. When you are ready to dissolve, you are ready to give up your ego, then you know. So therefore, to know the truth, you need to have the highest interest. See, when you love something, what is the test that how much you love it? What are you ready to put on stake for it? Supposing you say, I am ready to put my Mercedes Benz on stake. Okay, fine. Okay, you then understand. Okay, this fellow loves it so much. So he wants it. For that he is even ready to sacrifice his Mercedes Benz. And then, for this, I am ready to sacrifice this, that. Finally, when you say, I am ready to give myself away, then only you really want it. That is the highest level of love. So, to know the truth, you should be ready to lose yourself. How many of us are ready for that? So therefore they say we don't know how to impart it. Because imparting the whole is impossible. You can become part by merging yourself into it. Then you can enjoy the whole. So you have to come. So they only therefore do what? They lift their knowledge and try to attract you so that you can, you know, when you dissolve your ego and you come in silence, then the knowledge is transferred from the guru to you. Is what he's saying. And that truth is so subtle, it's beyond the known and the unknown. It's beyond the known and the unknown, means beyond the known world and the unknown Maya. The Maya Tattvam, the Ishvara, the spirit behind. It is beyond the known and the unknown in the sense, it's beyond the known, the subtle body and the gross body, and the unknown, the causal body. It is beyond the known and the unknown in the sense, it is beyond all your knowledge and ignorance. This also we saw last week. So, verse 1, question. Verse 2, answer. Upanishad is over. Then, verse 3, 4 onwards, it's all explanation. Now, from verse 5 to 9, in part A, part 1, of Keno Upanishad, the second line is the same. He repeats it. In fact, Upanishads don't repeat. In the end, they repeat twice to tell us that the Upanishad is over. But anything that they said, they don't repeat. They don't repeat. Impossible. But if they are repeating means, either they have come to the end or they are trying to communicate something very important. It's like underlining. You know, you have these highlighter pins. With that, you keep highlighting the books, the areas which you want to refer again and again. Just because you feel they are very important. So when they are repeating, they are trying to drive home a particular point which is very essential. So let us see verse number 5. Mantra 5, Keno Upanishad, part 1.
Yadvachanabhyuditam kena vagabhyudhyate tadeva brahmatvam vidhimedam yadidam upasate. Yadvachanabhyuditam ena vagabhyudhyate tadeva brahmatvam vidhimedam yadidam upasate.
The second line. Tadeva brahmatvam vidhimedam yadidam upasate. 5 times from verse number 5 to 9 he repeats. So what he says, yat vachana bhyuditam ena vaga bhyudyate. Yat vacha anabhyudita, which cannot be expressed by speech, that which cannot be expressed by speech. See, when you say speech, the style of Shastra is that they only mention one to mean all. So when they say speech, speech is what? Organ of action. When they say speech, all 5 organs of action are included. Organs of action cannot know the truth. That's what it means. So what are we trying to do? We are trying to act and know the truth. You cannot know the truth through action. Yat vachana bhyuditam. Ena vaga bhyudyate, that by which speech is expressed. The very speech, the very organs of actions function because of that. That's the next line. First is this, it cannot be known through that speech. Cannot be known through organs of action. Do not waste your time in trying to know the truth through action. If I do this, will I know? If I do that, you will know? Nothing you will know. You cannot know. It is that which actually enlivens the organs of action, including the speech, to be able to speak at the very source that lends its capacity to these equipments is that. So these equipments cannot know that. So, in fact, when you understand these verses, if you become so subtle, then every time you are able to see, hear, smell, taste, touch, use your hands, use your legs, the organs of action are functioning, that itself is a sign of expression of truth, so you can be reminded of God through that itself. When you do not have that subtle fine-tuning, then you require a gross manifestation. A idol or a temple or a pilgrimage or something. So this is what he is saying here. Yat vachana bhyuditam ena vaga bhyudyate. Ena vak abhyudyate. The vak itself is able to speak. So when I am speaking now, what do you understand from this? I cannot express truth. See, organ of action, organ of perception, he's going to talk about organ of perception, the same thing, the mind, everything he'll say in these 5 verses. First he starts with organs of action. Now, all this can only express a very, very infinite decimal part. But Brahman, Brahat Tamatvat Iti Brahma, which means big, big means infinite. How can the infinite be expressed through the finite equipment, the words? the organ of speech, which can only through words, not possible to capture it through words. So which means what? The truths are not there in the books. Not truths. Truth is not there in the books. That's why they say, when a book is spoken by a guru, he is a live person. For the guru, book is only one, what do you call this, excuse. Book is an excuse. He uses the book and he talks about his personal experience, he or she. Because for him, truth is his experience. Book is only a, you know. So, therefore, he says that it cannot be expressed by speech, that which is by which speech itself is expressed. You are able to speak means because of the truth. Truth is enabling your organs of action to function, your organ of speech to speak. So, this is what he says. And then he says, Tat eva brahmatvam vidhi. Vidhi means know. Know that alone, eva. Tat eva brahmatvam vidhi. You should know that alone as Brahman. Know that alone to be Brahman. Nedam. Nedam means na idam. Not this. What you people worship here. This which people worship. Not this. Edidam upasate. Not what you people worship here. See. People were even today. If supposing some fire worship yajna is going on somewhere, or even in our class, we have this class in Mamtaji's house. Every week, supposing there is a yajna that Mamtaji is conducting, fire yajna. You think only 15 of us will be there? There will be some 15,000 people. People whom Mamtaji invited, people whom she did invite, everybody will come. Puja's friends, relatives, friend also will come. If you say yajna, fire workship. If you say Gita class, they will try to stop Puja also going. Why so early? You still have time. So the point is, that what you people worship here, that what you people worship here means, he is talking about the Vedic rituals. He is not ridiculing Vedic rituals. But the purpose of Vedic rituals are forgotten and people are stuck to it. See, I already explained this in the beginning of the Gita lectures also, that there are four Vedas, Rig, Yajur, Sama and Atharvana, and each of these Vedas has Mantra, Brahmana, Aranyaka, Upanishad, four parts. In this Mantra, Brahmana, Aranyaka put together, it's called Veda Purva Bhag. And Upanishad is called Veda Ant Bhag. Veda Ant Bhag is the chaste philosophy. Veda Purva Bhag, Mantra, Brahmana, Aranyaka, which is called Veda Purva Bhag, talks about the rituals. Any religion will have these two, rituals and philosophy. So the rituals are meant to tune up the mind and intellect, to purify the inner personality. So it talks about various gods and goddesses, and through them lot of upasanas, worshipping methods. It's to bring in two things only. What is the purpose of it? Only two. What is that? Chitta Shuddhi and Chitta Ekagrata. Chitta Shuddhi and Chitta Ekagrata. Chitta Shuddhi means purification of the mind. Chitta Ekagrata means focus of the mind. The mind is so impure today and it has lost its focus. So first you got to purify it and bring it to a certain focus. Then you give a higher direction through the Upanishad. But the problem is, people got stuck to the Vedic rituals, not knowing that they are very useful in terms of purification and focus. But for that purpose, they don't. They're going on worshipping the idols. Idols are only representing the ideal. Like the Indian national flag represents the nation. You know, so like that. An idol represents the ID. But unfortunately, people got stuck to the idol. And they forget the ID. Therefore, he says, not what you people worship here. What you people worship here is a concept of the mind kept there to represent that which is beyond the mind. But what has happened? It's like this, you know. You keep your parents' photograph with you, but when your real parents come to your visiting your house, you don't have time to spend with them. But every day you are doing namaskar to the photos. This is what is happening. So, tat eva brahmatvam vidhi. Know that alone to be Brahman. What alone to be Brahman? That which cannot be expressed by words. That which cannot be expressed by words means what? It is not found in the books. It's not found in any lectures, including this lecture. It is also found in this lecture. How? That's the next line he says. If your focus is on the speech, you will miss the truth. But if your focus is upon what is making the speech possible, then you can capture the truth. That's what he's saying now. That which cannot be expressed by speech, that by which speech is expressed. This is the problem. So therefore, it is the very source of all activities. Through actions you cannot know it. It is subtle. It is a subject. It is the very subject within which is sitting there. Sitting means it, just using words. Which is actually enlivening the organs. In its presence, the organs get enlivened and they are functioning. They can maximum go in the realm of the world, which is a very, very infinitesimal portion compared to Brahman. You can't conceive. See, there is a story that Swami Vivekananda gives. He says, there was a frog in the ocean and in a particular situation by mistake it has fallen into a well. There is already a frog sitting in the well, one more frog. So when it sees the new frog, it says, hey, welcome man, you look like me. Where are you from? So the frog in the well is asking this new frog, which is originally from ocean but fallen into the well now, where are you from? So the ocean frog is saying, it's trying to express, I am from the ocean. It just says, I am from the ocean. Then immediately this frog says, what is ocean? Then the frog says, that is also a water body like your well. Acha? In comparison to my well, your ocean is small or big? Is it big? How big? 5 times? 10 times? Can you put that in words? Can you say ocean is 25 lakh times bigger than well? Can you put that in words? Not possible. So how to communicate? They are not able to communicate not because they do not know the art of communication. We do not have the equipment to receive it. And as long as we try our best to know it through the equipments, we fail. We should know that these equipments are useful only and only in the worldly level. After that, nothing matters. These equipments are useful till then. In the worldly sense, for transactional purposes, it's useful. But if you want to know the truth, you got to leave those equipments and enter. So when you go to the bandhya, you are told, leave the chappals out. Chappals represent the mind and intellect. You want to know the truth, you got to drop the mind and intellect and go. But if you say, no, I want to keep the mind, intellect, and then know it, not possible. So therefore, when he says, tad eva brahmatvam vidhi, know that alone to be the truth. Not this what you people worship here in this world. What are we worshipping? We are worshipping the poorest imitation of the pure self. So much identification, this and that, for this poorest imitation. Which has a purpose. You understand? Which has a purpose. We are not, Upanishads don't ridicule it. In fact, in part 3 and 4, Upanishads themselves are going to give stories and, you know, they themselves will symbolize the truth. Therefore, they are not against symbolism, but they just want to say, don't get stuck to the symbols. The Vedanta treatise book, in his very first book, he used to have this line in page number 9. Now the new book, I don't know which page. The role of Vedanta topic is the first chapter. In that he'll say, role of Vedanta is to pull man out of his infatuation to personalities and educate him on eternities. We are all attached to some personality or the other. As if that personality, if you really read this Upanishad, for that matter any Upanishad, or Gita, you understand the stupidity of it. Yes, you may resonate with a particular person's way of communication. That's a separate thing. But it is not through the words. You cannot capture it in words. Simple. It is not possible to capture it in words. No lesser a person, Upanishad Guru himself has said. Don't try to capture the truth in words. Capturing words will be very poor, small part, cannot be the whole. Always remember that words that I am using, W-H-O-L-E, whole, and P-A-R-T, part. The equipments cannot know the W-H-O-L-E. Impossible. They only know the part. There's a beautiful poem called Six Blind Men and Elephant. All the six fellows who are blind go to know the elephant, how the elephant looks like. And each fellow goes and touches one particular part and then he comes to a conclusion. He says, somebody touches the side of the elephant and says, the elephant is very like a wall. One fellow touches the trunk and he says, elephant is like a snake. One fellow touches the tail and he says, elephant is like a rope. One fellow touches the ears and he says, like a fan. The interesting thing is, they say, even the blindest can say. And then they say, deny the fact, who can? They are saying they are blind and they are touching the part and they come to the conclusion and then they are saying, deny the fact, who can? Even the blindest can say. The same tamasha is going on in spiritual field. Really speaking, one who knows the truth will keep quiet. Swami Ramana Maharishi just kept quiet. He didn't go lecturing in America, China, Hong Kong. Not that he was against it. He was sitting in one place. And if you go to his ashram, the very basic facilities, but very beautiful. I had the fortune to go and stay there for 2 days. Very basic, but very nice. And people from countries which are unknown to us, You only come to know of those countries when Olympic happens. And there is Olympics going on, then you suddenly come to know of those countries' names and all this. People from those countries are sitting there. Ramana Maharshi is not there in physical body now. He's given up his body long time ago. But still people are coming there. So what we need to therefore understand is, those who know, they keep quiet. They don't talk. Because the moment you try to talk, you're compromised. You're compromised. So then for what the talks are? The next question. All the talks are for the mind to become quiet. When the mind becomes quiet, then you come to know the truth, gets absolutely transferred. When you buy a particular USB or something, if you directly plug into the computer, I don't think so you can transfer. They do something and then it gets transferred. It's like that. So all these words the guru uses, this, that, it all for the mind to dissolve. Then the truth gets completely transferred into you. Because you become transparent. Till you are opaque, you cannot embrace the truth. You've got to become transparent. Therefore he says, not what you people worship here. The thing that you worship here is a manifestation. Whereas the truth is unmanifest. So how can you are not then worshipping the truth, worshipping something else? So therefore he says, Tadeva Brahmatvam Vidhi Nedam Yadidam Upas. Na idam yat idam upasate. All worships, everything is external. Nobody knows the truth. In short, he is saying that only. Nobody knows the truth. Even in commentary, Swamiji has written, people of the world are not aware of this truth. They fail to get to the true God. Instead, they cling on to the places and objects of worship. See, for example, pilgrimages. Oh, it's a very good exercise in the sense. That's one method. Pilgrimage is good. We don't criticize it. But as if only pilgrimage is everything. If you understand what this guru is trying to say here, in every express truth. But the focus should not be on the expression. The focus should be on the very subject that is making the expression possible. See, there was a gentleman by the name Keshav Chandra. And apparently he was an atheist. And he was a highly intellectual person. He has debated with many Swamis and defeated them in debates. And proven that there is no God. That sort of a thing. And he came to challenge Swami Ramakrishna Paramahamsa. And Ramakrishna Paramahamsa and Keshav Chandra were supposed to debate. And the debate started, Keshav Chandra started. And he was going on talking step by step, one by one, logic after logic, disproving that there is God. There is no God, nothing, you know, that's what. And step by step, he was asking questions, brilliant exposition. Swami Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, as this Keshav Chandra Maharaj started talking, started dancing. You know, like in bhajans, you see this Hare Rama, Hare Krishna and all, they are dancing. Like that, he started dancing. And the Keshav Chandra Maharaj said, what is happening here? This guy started dancing. and he's dancing and he's gone to ecstasy, and then he goes and hugs him so tightly and all that he's doing. Then Keshavachandra Maharaj says, "Arey yaar, don't do all these things. We are here to debate, not for this kind of nonsense. Don't do this thing. Don't do this." He is jumping with joy and hugging. Then he says, Ramakrishna Paramahamsa says, "I am in such ecstasy because who can argue so well that there is no God except God Himself?" You understand? This is what he says. And Keshavachandra Maharaj says, "This is the only person with whom I'll accept that I am defeated. Why? Because this person's knowledge of truth is not external. This person knows the truth internally. There is no logic, no reason which can dislodge him. Because he is seeing the truth behind all the logics of Keshavachandra." What is Upanishad saying? That's why I said sometimes in my anger management talk also I give this. In anger management, simple thing you got to do. When somebody is giving you gali, buffalo, donkey, monkey, gorilla, all these kind of words they are using at you. You are focusing on the words. Because you didn't study verse number 5, Keno Upanishad. You stopped at 4. 5 is saying, don't focus on the words. Monkey, donkey, buffalo, don't focus on that. Then, what is enabling them to say those words? You understand? So when they are saying monkey, you also start jumping with joy. Why? Because you are focusing on what is making them say those words. But if you focus on monkey, then you get angry. Because what happens after that, you go and look at the mirror and sometimes you also feel what they say is correct only. Then you get agitated even more. Therefore, don't focus on the words. Focus on what makes them say those words. If only we can shift the focus, then we will see that there is so much of energy that is getting dissipated there. Anyway, so what this Upanishad is trying to tell us is therefore, the truth is unmanifest. But everything that has come in words is nothing but manifest. Manifest and unmanifest, there is no way the manifest can express the unmanifest fully. It is the very unmanifest which is making the manifestation possible. So how can you try to know it through words? You cannot. But then what are these words for? To give some direction. To quieten the mind. To give a, you know, broad picture. And the words which is coming from the Guru's depth, they are very mesmerizing for us to lose our ego in that. Then the truth is known. But if we capture the words and then sail through that, nothing will happen. I've given this example before. When we say Pita Ambara means yellow cloth. But when the word Pita Ambara is used, you know it's talking about Krishna. It's talking about Vishnu. But literally if you go by the word Pita Ambara, it is yellow cloth. So when the Upanishads speak, don't get stuck with the words. You cannot know the truth. So that's why he says, it is not what you people worship here. It's all madness going on here. We sing in the end of the aarti, we sing, Tera tujhko arpan kya lage mera. Now, supposing God takes that very seriously and comes and says, Aapne to bola, Tera tujhko arpan kya lage mera, so I'm taking everything. Then you will say, what is the proof that you are the original God? Aadhar card hai kya? Fingerprint karo. You understand? Eye verification, all that we'll do. He just say, Tera tujhko arpan kya lage mera, desh hai. Really speaking, nobody really cares about truth. There's some kind of, you know, this Upanishad is saying, I'm not saying. So Upanishad is saying, therefore, this is not the truth. So many examples Swamiji has given in the book also. Idol, like hospital example also is given. Your original nature is health. Swastha. Swastha means your original nature. That's why we say you have fallen ill. You have come out of your original nature and you have fallen ill now. So when you go to the hospital, they restore your original nature. And once you are restored, you get out of the hospital. You don't say it's very convenient here. I like the food here. The bed is nice. AC is nice. You don't say that, right? You go there to get to your original state and get back. Similarly, all these methods they have taught in the Vedas, in the temples, the rituals, everything is for that purpose only. But we leave that alone. No chitta shuddhi, no ekagrata, nothing. Sometimes you go to the temple and come back more agitated. This kind of a war going on in the queue. So, therefore he says, there is clear difference between Saguna Ishvara and Nirguna Brahman. Brahman is beyond gunas, beyond attributes, beyond qualities. That cannot be conceived by our mind or intellect. Therefore, we need something with which we can relate. So we have symbols, idols. So what these great masters did is, the idea is to take the mind to divinity. So you said wherever the mind went, they got the divinity there. So we have, when the mind goes to money, they said goddess Lakshmi. If the mind went to power, goddess Parvati. Went to knowledge, goddess Saraswati. Etc. etc. So, we have so many gods and goddesses. All are talking about that one truth only. So, the whole idea is to be in that divinity all the time. So, but not to accept them as the truth, but to use them to get to the truth. Manifestation is for you to be able to relate and move on. And you must move on to that height where you thereafter don't need any of these manifestations. That's the concept. Not that you are against the temple or anything. See, in our ashram, I don't think so anybody has come to our ashram. I think Mamtaji has been, but I don't know if she noticed. In our ashram, there is no mandir. There is one small mandir, but that we didn't create. When the land was bought, this small mandir was already there. A very small mandir. So what Swamiji did is, he made it look little nice and that mandir is still retained, it's there. Other than that, he has not built any mandir. So some people, they don't understand this. So when they come, sometimes they have discussions with them. Why there is no mandir? Are you guys against mandir? I explain to them, listen, if we were against mandir, why would Swamiji even save that mandir which was already there? We are not against. But at the same time, we tell very clearly what the Upanishads say. It is not to get stuck to that concept. But use them and go within. Anything that comes as an obstacle to your truth, to your freedom, you should have the capacity to say no and throw it out. Even if it is your own guru coming in between. See, that is not easy. Gratitude is very important, but you cannot get stuck in gratitude. But the problem in the world is, one set of people, they don't have gratitude, other set of people stuck in gratitude. You don't understand what is that objectivity. So So the Upanishad here very beautifully says, all this is saguna upasana. Brahman is nirguna. In Swami Ramakrishna Paramahamsa's life, he was very much into worshipping goddess Kali. That was his Ishta Devata, I think. So his guru once broke apparently the idol of Kali. When that was broken, Ramakrishna Paramahamsa supposed to have realized the self. What the whole thing means is, he brought himself to such single focus, but it got stuck in the idol, and that was broken. It was merged with the truth. That's what it means. So, it's not that he is against idol worship breaking. It should not become a hindrance. That's why he says, that alone is the truth, not what you people worship here. So now, whatever we studied in verse 5, the same concept reinforced in 6, 7, 8, 9 with reference to organs of perception, mind, etc. But the concept is same. Nothing changes. In fact, the second line is same. The first line, instead of vacha, you'll put chakshu, you'll put hearing, you'll put mind, that's all. The second line is same. So, yet vachana bhyutitam ena vaga bhyutyate means what? Vacha, the words, the organ of speech cannot capture it. Organ of speech cannot capture it. In fact, the very organ of speech is coming because of that. That's the tatparyam of this verse. Next verse. Yanmanasana manute yena hurmano matam. Yanmanasana manute yena hurmano matam. Tadeva brahmatvam viddhi nidam yadidam upasate. Tadeva brahmatvam viddhi nidam yadidam upasate. Yanmanasana manute yena hurmano matam. Tadeva brahmatvam viddhi nidam yadidam upasate. So now, if you think, okay, words cannot capture, but mind can capture. Sorry, mind cannot capture also. Mind is also what? External. Mind is also an object. You can know the mind objectively. So everything that is external cannot know it. If you want to know the truth, you should have the capacity to go alone. But the problem is, we want company for everything. But if you want to go to the truth, you got to go alone. You cannot take your mind, you cannot take your intellect, you cannot take your senses, you can't take anything. You got to become absolutely independent. That is not easy. See, when you meet some true sannyasis, it's unbelievable how they live. They don't even own bhiksha patra. There is no begging bowlers. They just put their palms together and ask for bhiksha. Bhavati bhikshandehi. Whatever is given, they take. If they not, nothing is given, they take. That as the prasad of God. Today God wanted me to go to fasting. See, in our life, we will have some plans, something we want to happen that way. But many times it may not happen that way. But do we have the capacity to accept it that way? That's why we get agitated, stressed. That doesn't mean you should not plan. But you should rise above that and have the capacity to accept it. The whole problem is, you see, you will go to an ice cream parlor with a very big desire to have a particular flavor. And he will say that particular flavor is not there that day. And my God, you get so agitated. You come back so, you know, that acceptance is not. Simple thing like ice cream can put a PhD fellow into imbalance. But what is this? How to accept that, you know, nature has its own way of functioning. We don't know what it is. You, of course, you have your own specific interest. But when you go there, things can change. Just sail through. Those who can accept, they will not have a problem. Those who cannot accept, they will suffer. It's got nothing to do with good people or bad people. You should have the capacity to accept. So the, you know, mind is talking here in this verse with reference to mind. Same concept with reference to mind. So he says that which cannot be visualized by mind, that by which mind visualizes, is the source of the mind also, the source of organs of action. Now he says the source of the mind. So then he says, know that alone to be Brahman, not this, this which people worship. So the mind cannot know the truth, he says. You cannot capture it with thoughts, feelings, emotions. It is that which makes the emotions function. The very emotions are possible because of that. You cannot know it through emotions. So you cannot know it through this, you cannot know it through that. Means what? You got to go alone. Drop everything and go alone. To be alone means what? To be choiceless. To be choiceless means what? You may have a particular choice, but when the choice is not available, that also is okay. You got to come to that level if you want to know the truth. That's very difficult. You remember that poem we studied, olive tree. He says, well, how come your olive tree is growing, mine is dead? He says, I entrusted it to him. He who made it knew what it needed better than a man like me. The trust. But to come to that level of trust is not easy. You will have blind faith, but trust is not easy. So the dependence on the organs of action, the dependence on the mind is removed here. One by one he does that. Same concept. So in the very first, I think the previous class itself I said, you use tongs to pick up something. That very tongs cannot be used to pick up your, touch, grab your own fingers or hand, palm. It is a palm which is making the tongs capable to hold the object. But the very tongs cannot grab the fingers or palm. The same way, truth is that which is making you do everything. So truth is there behind everything. But as long as you are searching for it externally, you will not find it. So what? Understanding this, you got to drop the very search itself. When the very search is dropped, truth is grabbed. Or rather, truth grabs us. Put it that way. We can't grab the truth. Truth grabs us. We got to allow the truth to grab us. If we don't allow the truth to grab us, truth can only grab the truth. Truth cannot grab the untruth. So, we got to drop all our conditionings and be absolutely free of conditionings. Then the truth will grab us. But that requires tremendous courage. That's why Upanishad says, I don't know how to impart. Now let's chant verse 7 and 8 together. Yat chakshu shana pasyati yena chakshu bhumshi pasyati యచ్చక్షుషాన పశ్యతి యేన చక్షు భూంషి పశ్యతి తదేవ బ్రహ్మత్వం విద్ధి నేదం యదిదముపాసతే తదేవ బ్రహ్మత్వం విద్ధి నేదం యదిదముపాసతే యచ్చక్షుషాన పశ్యతి యేన చక్షు భూంషి పశ్యతి తదేవ బ్రహ్మత్వం విద్ధి నేదం యదిదముపాసతే యశ్రోత్రేణ న శృణోతి యేన శ్రోత్రమిదగుం శృతం యశ్రోత్రేణ న శృణోతి యేన శ్రోత్రమిదగుం శృతం తదేవ బ్రహ్మత్వం విద్ధి నేదం యదిదముపాసతే తదేవ బ్రహ్మత్వం విద్ధి నేదం యదిదముపాసతే యశ్రోత్రేణ న శృణోతి యేన శ్రోత్రమిదగుం శృతం తదేవ బ్రహ్మత్వం విద్ధి నేదం యదిదముపాసతే. The same concept is explained in verse number 7 using eyes, in verse number 8 using ears. Since eyes and ears are part of the organs of perception, they are chanted together. When it came to organ of action, he gave only speech. When it comes to organs of perception, he is giving two. Now you can't ask why one, why two and all that. He is not doing everything planned here. He is just going in the flow. So he says, that which one sees not by the eye, but that by which one sees, one's eye see everything. Know that alone to be Brahman, not this, this which people worship. That which one hears not by the ear, that by which hearing is heard. Know that alone to be Brahman, not this, this which people worship. See, now particularly if you take verse number 8, what he is saying? It is not what you hear by your ear, but what makes your ear hear. So that means, as I am talking, I can see Pooja taking notes. He is saying, all this notes is rubbish. Throw it in the dustbin. That's what he is saying. I am not saying. He is saying, that which one hears not by ear. Which means what? Whatever you are writing, what are you writing? What you are hearing by your ear, no? Whatever you are hearing by your ear is what you are writing. And he says that is not the truth. So that means whatever you have written in your notes are not the truth. All your notes should be thrown in the dustbin. That's what he's saying. And then he says that by which hearing is heard. That by which your ear is able to hear. This is the difficulty. It is not what you see, but what makes you see. It is not what you hear, but what makes you hear. So the problem is, in our education system, when we want to know things objectively, what we call as intelligence, we got to take notes. We got to take notes. We got to think about it, refer this, that. Here is a different concept altogether. There is no note, nothing, notebook. All these new things. And the Upanishads were originally given. There is no printing, there is no book, nothing, no notebook. That the Guru spoke, student heard. Some of them realized when they were hearing. See, what they are trying to say is, the truth is right here. The notes is going to transport you to the realm of the thoughts. There are two different realms. Notes can maximum take you to the realm of the thoughts, isn't it? The truth is right here. From coming to the present, we go back to the realm of the thoughts. And then we think we are thinking about the truth. How can you think about the truth? You can't think without the help of the truth. That is the truth. That's all he's saying. These are all two subtle concepts that he's trying to communicate here. So, we are more interested, you know, every word we should write down, this thing, that thing, as if that is, that you will be able to give one Gita lecture, one Upanishad lecture you can give. You write down. But you will not be communicating the truth. You will communicate the truth to the extent the truth is unfolded by you. Not to the extent you have written notes. It's all madness. Therefore he says, in fact in Tamil, some of the, you know, literature, they call it as Tattuva Kuppai. Tattuva Kuppai means garbage. All this Tattuva means philosophy. All are garbage. There is no truth in it. You know, once you go to that level, see, that's why, once you go to that level, Upanishad is even declaring all this is madness. Upanishad is that level. It is not what you see, but what makes you see. It is not what you hear, but what makes you hear. So why are you shifting your attention to what you hear? From what you hear, to shift what makes you hear. From what you see, you got to shift your attention to what makes you see. Just become an observer. Don't get lost in thoughts. Don't get lost in perceptions. Don't get lost in words. Just be an observer. Then you will be here and grab the truth. If not, you will fall into the realm of thoughts. And it will be very entertaining. Very, very entertaining. But it is far from the truth. And truth nobody really wants because it's boring. Whereas the false is very entertaining. Why? Because it is full of all kinds of masala in it. Nobody likes the story. People like the screenplay. Story is same. Boy and girl fell in love, got married. Or did not get married. Or about to get married. It is a permutation combination. All the movies. But screenplay is different. The screenplay that makes it interesting. Story if you tell like this, boring is. Kuch bhi nahi. Thoda masala dalo. You know, people are interested in masala. Upanishads have no masala. Absolutely. Straight to the point they come. So last mantra in this particular part is verse number 9. This is the same concept with reference to pranas. See, every human being is basically atma covered by 5 sheets. Annamaya kosha, pranamaya kosha, manomaya kosha, vijnanamaya kosha, anandamaya kosha. So he covers the sheets here. So now he is going to talk about pranamaya kosha. Even prana is the same logic. He is going to say. Because a lot of people, they take prana to be the truth. Especially, you know, one person dies, you say prana chale gayi. Prana gone. Prana is not the life enlivening force. It is the atma. That is what he is explaining here. Yat pranena na praniti ena prana praniyate. Pranena na praniti ena prana praniyate. Tadeva brahmatvam vidhi nedam yadidam upasate. Tadeva brahmatvam vidhi nedam yadidam upasate. Yat pranena na praniti ena prana praniyate. Tadeva brahmatvam vidhi nedam yadidam upasate. That which one sustains not by the prana. That by which prana is sustained. Know that alone to be Brahman, not this which people worship here. So it is not sustained by pranas. It is that which sustains the pranas. So you cannot know it through breathing. You cannot know it through seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, acting, feeling, thinking. None of this will help you. But all this will also help you. How? If you only shift the focus to the source. Once you shift the focus to the source, then you can know the truth. Not otherwise. Pranas means pancha prana. Prana, apana, samana, vyana, udana. All these five physiological functions. These physiological functions are able to function because of the Atma. How can they know that? So people think by just doing pranayama you can come to know of the truth. Going on doing pranayama the whole day. Some people going on doing upasana. Some people going on doing some kind of ritual. Some people going on studying. None of this can get you there. But it will give you some kind of a sense, feeling that you are doing something perfect, doing spiritual, you are all the time in that. There will be all the kind of egos because you are doing these things. But you are far away from the truth. Truth is your birthright. It's here and now. You can experience it. But you will not be in it. You will be in your thoughts. You will be in your emotions. But that is not the truth. So let's conclude here. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Kayena Vacha Manasendriyaiva Budhyatmanava Keshvabhava Karomi Adhyat Sakalam Parasmai Narayanayeti Samarpayami. Hari Om. See you all next week. Adios.